Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 and verses 16 and 17 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, He may, in my name, He may give it you." Verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. Jesus is making clear that the choice that we are privileged to have been given was made by Him and not by us. That in essence, when He says, "Ye have not chosen me," it goes much further than His earthly pilgrimage here on planet Earth. It goes much further than the starting of His earthly ministry at the age of 30 years old, and He's now 33 and a half years old when He makes this statement. It goes much further than Him being here on planet Earth. As a matter of fact, when He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," goes all the way back to the beginning. And I'm not talking about the beginning of time. I'm talking about before time began. It was a choice of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Almighty God to come and to redeem man back to God, God's chiefest creation. For heaven was searched for one who would be able to redeem mankind, and no one was quite able to fit the bill. But Jesus volunteered for the job, and He chose us as, again, the desire of His Father's creation to return us back to the Father, and it could only be done through the perfect blood of the Son of the living God. So when He says, "Ye have not chosen me," He's talking about selection. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know, but there is much to be said about selection. It's one thing when you are given something. It's another thing when you select something. There are a whole lot of us in life have had to deal with things with, and we now deal with and have dealt with things not that we wanted, but they were selected for us. But the privilege in life, in every arena, comes when you are able to make the selection for yourself. Now, I want you to notice something, because in this discourse that Jesus speaks, there are three things, including the choice here that's made, that we were made the choice of. In other words, we did not choose it. God chose to show, to share, and to give to us the privilege of those things that he held dear himself. Let's go back to the first thing. What are the three things? The first thing is love. If you go back to verse 9, it says, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So the first thing you need to know is Jesus chose to love you. Now, that ought to be shout news, because some of you know some stuff about yourself. That if you didn't have to love yourself, you might not love yourself. But in spite of all he knows about you, think about this, he still chose to love you. Just think about not being the best in the lot, but being the worst. And you know, one of the things about when we were little children and we were trying to pick little teams for our games, and children would be standing around, and every one of us who happened to be the team leader would always want to choose the best. And nobody ever wanted to choose the small one, the scrawny one, the one that didn't look like he or she knew what she was doing. It would always be the ones who were the best of the best that we wanted for our teams. But when Jesus came down, and even before he came down, he chose to love the best of the worst of us. And that literally means that Paul put it best when he says that he was chief of sinners. In other words, what he was rejoicing about was that God found favor in someone so unworthy to be used in the magnitude in which God used him. And God just specializes in taking the worst and making them the best. So he chose to love us when we were not worthy of his love, because he said, as I have loved you. And then he said to us, continue ye in my love. Well, what's the second choice he made? I'm glad you asked. It's found in the 11th verse when he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy should remain in you and that your joy should be full. So the second thing he chose to give us and to place upon us and within us is his joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. And the joy of the Lord, listen, is always connected with both Jesus and his word. The more of Jesus' word you have, the more of the presence and the power and the personified person in you when you have his word. And then the third thing he makes clear is right here in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me. Let's be clear. But I have chosen you. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is shouting news for someone whom the devil has used, abused, totally pulled their lives apart. They've given the devil the best of their lives. They're worth hardly nothing left, and the devil has kicked them to the curb, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ picks them up and say, I've chosen you. When they know that they're fit for nothing but death, hell, and destruction, Jesus shows up and says, I have chosen you. But he adds something else. He says, and connective conjunction here, tying something else important. He says, and ordained you. Now, ordained in this context means appointed you. He says, literally, I have selected you and appointed you. Now let me share some things with you. There are some vessels, some earthen vessels, who will be real and tell you that I would not be doing what I'm doing right now if I had to volunteer. If I knew all I had to go through in this assignment, I know you're holier than thou. I know all is well with you. I know you can handle, but I would not have volunteered. There are some people who will be real enough to tell you that there are just some people I wouldn't have loved if he wouldn't have commanded me. Am I going to get some help in the house? There are some places I would not have gone to preach this gospel had he not appointed me. And just like the men of old, the prophets of old, just like those men who gave themselves to God, and it wasn't always willingly, but they were subjected and they surrendered under the authority and the power of God to do what God said do. And even Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not this gospel. Even Jonah was mad with God. Didn't want to go to Nineveh because his enemies were in there. He ain't have no friend nor kinfolk in Nineveh. Nineveh represented his enemies, and he wanted all of his enemies to die and go to hell. You know, just like you want your enemies to do you. I'm talking about before you got saved. Now you're trying to save all your enemies in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach a 40-day revival. Listen. I've been preaching 43 years, and never in all the revivals I preached have a whole town been saved at one time. But Jonah was sent to his enemies, and he preached 40 days, and the entire city was saved. And instead of Jonah rejoicing, Jonah got mad with God and literally was upset with his assignment and the results of his assignment. That's like going fishing and getting mad you caught fish. And God chose Jonah to preach to Nineveh. And it was an appointment. Because one of the things that you're going to learn about God choosing you and appointing you, selecting you and ordaining you, is he gives you enough anointing for the assignment. See, that's why when people say the Lord sent me and ain't got nothing to say, my question then is, what Lord? See, when folks say, I have the gift of singing and sing one note in three tones at the same time. Are y'all going to hear me here today? In other words, whenever somebody says the Lord has appointed me to do such and so, there ought to be some sign. You can't say he has called you to do this or to do that, and there is no evidence of what you're doing or any results from you doing it. In other words, if he has given you a light to shine, you don't have to make it shine. All you have to do is let it shine. Because the light on the inside of you shows up wherever you are. So when you walk in the darkness, darkness will no longer comprehend you, but you'll comprehend the darkness because of the light that that emanates from you. And so he says, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. How do you know he's chosen you? Because verse 15 came before verse 16. And look at what he said. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now listen at this, and listen at the context Jesus says this in. He makes clear that he calls them friends and not servants. Let me deal first with the servant issue, because in the Greek, under the law, servants were no more than living tools. Living tools. Now, servants did not have a right to ask the masters, why did the master want them to do a certain job? If the master assigned a task to the servant, all the servant asked was the dimensions, the parameters, the details to the job. But they could ask where, they could ask when, but they were forbidden to ask why. And so Jesus is making clear that the servant does not know the why of the master. In other words, if the master tells the servant, go dig up this ground here and place it over 6 feet from there and keep digging till I tell you stop, the servant has but one response: yes, Lord. The servant can't say, why you want me to do that? Because he was no more than a living tool. But Jesus says, I, from this point forward, no longer will call you servants, but I've called you friends. Listen, now he elevates this term from servanthood to friendship. Now, in the Eastern culture, the emperor and the king had a group of men who were called the friends of the emperor or the friends of the king. These men were elevated above the generals, the rulers, and the statesmen of every province and every kingdom. And these men were the only men who were allowed to enter into the bedchamber of the emperor or to the king, because they were friends of his. And because they were his friends, he permitted them things, listen, that others in the kingdom were not privy to otherwise. Now let me show you how important this is and to understand how Jesus really gave them a promotion and put this promotion in context. You do remember in the Old Testament when Esther was dealing with the issues of her people and a fast for the Jews had been called. And her relative Mordecai called her into a conference and said, Esther, do you think that just because you're in the king's palace, that whatever befalls the Jews won't touch you? He told Esther, in other words, use your position to change our condition. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. God places people in special places for such a time as this. Whatever this might be like for someone he has put in place to get to the king's ear, to get to the emperor's ear, to put a message in that would otherwise not get that message. He has put them in place for such a time as this. And even the queen couldn't go to the king unless he extended his scepter out to her. And even if Esther, his wife, had gone to him in his official capacity and he had not extended his scepter, the queen would have been killed herself. And that's why Esther said, if I perish, let me perish, for I am going to see the king. I wish I had a Bible reader in the house. But the friends could come in when even his wife couldn't come in the business chamber. That's a promotion. And Jesus is saying, listen, I have called you friends. Now, before you get ready to shout, I want you to think about over everything and everybody that bothers you, that disturbs you, that perplexes you, that presses you, depresses you, oppresses you. He says, you can come straight to me and I'll take care of your issues. You ain't got to go through Pastor Montgomery. You don't have to go through the high priest. You don't have to go through the Pope. You can come. Ooh, somebody gonna get this on their way home. They're gonna think about what they're going through and been going through some stuff they didn't have to go through when all they had to do was make one call. That's all. And my brothers and sisters, listen. When the Lord God says to us through his Son that he's given us this privilege, and one of the privileges is that we would go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain. So what does this mean? It simply means that those of us whom the Lord calls friends have a responsibility to take this gospel outside of these four walls and bring them to the marketplace, to the business place, to their homes, to the schools, to the jailhouses, to the courthouses, to the White House, to every house and every place and every hamlet and every space, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with whosoever will. Listen. And that fruit that they bring to him might remain. Meaning this, that when you produce fruit, within the makeup of your fruit, you teach your fruit how to be fruit makers. Did you hear what I just said? And that means then that your fruit will remain, because the effect of your fruit will still continue on after you have given them instruction. What a privilege for me to know when the Lord decides to call me home.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
This is Pastor Russell live here in the radio station. It's such a privilege to be here, and I want to give glory to God and thank him for all the many blessings that he's blessed upon us in this great community. And I want to thank you for tuning in to 88.1. We're so privileged to be here in the studio with the one and only Sister Tanya Riley. And at this time, I just want to try to get a little information out to all of you. Tonight is a big night. In fact, the next 3 days here in Alexandria is big. We've been preparing all week, matter of fact, a month out, for Fresh Fire. It is here. It is here. For those of you who came out last year, you knew and know what happened. God moved in a mighty way. People's lives were changed. I'm still hearing testimonies about the great things that God has done in the lives of people that have come. Well, we're back at it again. It's Fresh Fire, y'all. I'm here in the studio live with the guest speakers that are going to be here in our city for the next couple of days. I'm going to be speaking tonight, that's Thursday night, at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss that. God's going to move in a mighty way. I got Victor Jackson all the way from Florida. He's a homeboy. He was born here in Lafayette, but he moved to Florida. But he's coming back to be with us. And then the one and only Myron Wideman Jr. is back all the way from the ATL. Victor Jackson is going to be preaching Friday night. You don't want to miss that. He'll tell you a little bit about that in just a moment. And Myron Wideman is preaching Saturday night. He'll tell you about that too. And then he'll also come back Sunday morning at our Sunday morning church service, which will be at 11 a.m. You want to come and hear him. He'll be preaching there as well. Let me tell you the preparation that went forth in this. Our church has been fasting. We had started fasting Sunday night. We ate our last meal Sunday evening, and we fasted clean on till Wednesday. We've taken care of that sacrifice. Then we had Wednesday night service, which was an anointing service. All of our people came out. We took the oil, and we anointed the sanctuary. We anointed the pews. We anointed the parking lot. So when you come down 3rd Street and you come on our parking lot, we're believing in the name of Jesus that the mighty presence of God is going to touch you before you even get in the sanctuary. That has been our prayer. The Bible said that when two or three touch and gather together in His